Holy Spirit working through you. That's not you working. So I'm not talking about those works tonight. I'm not talking about those works, okay? I'm talking about the law of God. So let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Start with verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now that's what we said last week. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not, underline this, in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But let no man, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's what we talked about last week. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, last week, it was show me your faith, I'll show you my works. And tonight, I want to show you the law compared to that faith. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is telling the church there at Galatia, he's saying, the law did not bring you faith. It didn't do it. It didn't do it. The law cannot save you. And if you look at verse 10, you'll see why the law can't save you. For as many as are of the works of law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In order to be saved by the law, you'd have to be able to keep all the law. I need to stop a minute. By the law, he means the law that God gave Moses. Just take those Ten Commandments. That's the law. That's the law of God. Now, class, help me. Somebody holler out the first commandment. All right, now, how many of y'all did that today? We didn't love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. Sometimes we love us and we forget him. Sometimes I love my wife and I forget him. Sometimes I love my children, my grandchildren, and I forget him. So we can't even make it past the first law. Let's be honest. We can't make it past the first law. So that tells us, he said, cursed is the man, if he's going to live by the law to be saved, cursed is the man that does not continue in how much? All the law. Now, that tells me, how many laws does it take to break to be called a sinner? One. One. That's one law. And by the way, Jesus said to thinking in your heart, you've already done it. And sometimes he didn't know it to do good and doeth it not. To him it's sin. You know, it's not he that knoweth to do bad and doeth it. That is breaking the law. But sometimes it's he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. That's sin too. So, the law of Moses, those Ten Commandments, and of course, as time went on, they added all kind of ceremonies and legal attachments to that, you know. He said, now, cursed is the man that says he's living by that law and he's not living every one of them. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a saved sinner. Amen. I was saved March 5th, 1978. I know I was there when it happened. My wife didn't have to tell me that. My mom didn't have to tell me that. God told me that the day he saved me. I was there. I was born again. And no more than I can forget my natural birth, can I forget my supernatural birth either? I was there. It happened. I'm here to prove it. Now, I'm saved by the grace of God, not by the law of God.
Amen.
Grace means undeserved favor. The law of God, and as we read, and we're going to go on, cannot justify anybody. He said that. You know what the word justify means? Just as if I'd never sinned. I'm justified with God. When God looks at me, He looks at me just as if I'd never sinned the first time. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed it. It's gone. It's erased out of the book. There is no record of it anymore. Jesus died to pay for my sins. So all my sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for by the sacrifice of His Son on the cross, who kept how much law? All the law. The wage of sin is death. Why did He die? He had no sin. He kept the whole law. Not one time did He miss one law. Not one time. And therefore, He didn't have to die, so He was our substitute. He died in the sinner's place to pay for our sin, and that's what justified us. Now, we're justified by faith without the law. Now, I know there's people that you hear on TV, the radio, and some churches that'll tell you, yeah, you believe on Christ to get saved, but you got to do this to... We're justified by faith without law. Romans 3:28. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. I want to show you something. We're going to spend some time in the book of Romans. Just stay there. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. And in verse 28, he says, therefore. Anytime you see that in the Bible, look and see what it's there for. Amen? If it says therefore, stop and look and see what it's there for. There's something important. Amen? He says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through what? Works? Faith. Through law? No, faith. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of who? Ourselves. But it's a gift of who? God. Lest somebody could do what? Boast. See, if you could be saved or be kept saved by keeping the law of Moses, then when you got to heaven, you could say, I'm better than them because I kept five laws. They didn't keep but two. Or you can say, well, I'm better than them because I kept the whole law. Well, you wouldn't be in heaven if you said that, because that would make you a liar. You just broke one. Amen. Now, so, we conclude, he says, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is where it all ends. No, there's nothing else to be said about it. It's finished. We conclude that a man is justified, made right with God, just in the sight of God, by faith. Faith in what? The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. He died in our place. The law giver became the law keeper, and He also suffered for the law that was broken so that the lawless like you and I could be called justified by simply believing on Him. That's called faith. I'd like to say we even did something to get the faith, but we didn't. He gave us the faith. The preacher would come to you and say, Rick, you really need to ask Jesus to save you. You really need to get saved. And you say, well, preacher, I just can't figure all this stuff out. I don't understand that stuff. You know, that Bible don't make a lot of sense sometimes. I just don't see it, preacher. And so he'd pray for you. You need to leave you alone. A little bit later, somebody'd preach. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I want to be a good person and I want to go to heaven, but I just don't really understand this stuff. And then one day somebody was talking to you, or you were reading something, or you were at church or somewhere, and somebody was preaching or teaching, and all of a sudden the light came on. You know why? God gave you the faith to believe the word that He wrote so that you could be saved. It's a gift of God. Go back and don't turn there tonight, but I tell you all the time, 1 Corinthians 13:13, talking about the gifts. They've been bragging on all these gifts in 1 Corinthians 13. And he gets down to end. He said, all those will pass away, but now by the faith, hope, and love, charity, these three, they're gifts of God. Faith's a gift of God. You can't work it up. Can't nobody. Boy, I've been to meetings where some guy come down to the altar and people put their hands on, come down and put their hands on and say, pray through, pray through, let go, hang on, let loose. You know, y'all seen it. Oh, I'm sorry. Pray through, let it go. No, you can't do that. You turn to Christ and by faith, believing that God will give you the faith when you turn to Him. When I walked that aisle that day, I had no idea what salvation was. I had no idea what faith was. I had no idea what anything was other than I was a dirty, rotten sinner. And if there was a hell, I ought to go to hell. If there was a holy God, I couldn't be with Him. I ought to go to hell. And that's why I walked down that aisle. But as I began to walk down that aisle, He began to give me faith. And by the time I got up here to that preacher, they took me in a room, read me some scripture, but I was already saved. He'd already given me the faith. And the scripture was just confirming what God had already poured in my heart, my mind on the way down. That's all it was doing. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Some of y'all look like you just ain't, you never heard such a thing. I wanted to keep the law. I thought, well, if I keep the law, if I love God and I don't hate my neighbor and I don't steal and I don't covet and all this stuff, you know, and I don't lie and all these things, then I'll be saved. God will save me if I do that. But that's not where it was at, because I couldn't anyway. And so that day, I walked down the aisle. I stepped out. And y'all going to think I'm crazy. I said, Lord, if you help me move this, let's see, I was facing this way. I said, Lord, if you help me move this foot, I'll go down there. I was on the end. And I just kind of found myself going down, and I was crying and weeping and wailing. And by the time I got down here, the glory of God, the burdens were just falling off. Boy, the closer I get, the lighter I get. And I was weeping and crying uncontrollably. But then, and that man took me in that room, and he read me a few scriptures. He said, ask the Lord to save you. I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, if I tell you what to pray, will you pray? I said, sure I will. He could have told me to whistle Dixie backwards. I'd have done it. I was already saved. I was already saying, I didn't know it. But those scriptures and that prayer confirmed what God had already given me. He gave me the faith to believe. You see, people sitting there waiting on something to hit them. They're sitting there waiting for this bullet to come out of heaven called faith. Whew! Like Benny Hinn. Empty hands on an empty head will do nothing, brother. Benny Hinn. And they're waiting for something to hit them like a bomb. Boom, you got faith. No, sir. You just step out, God will give you the faith. Amen? Amen. Like Billy said, you get to where you can't sleep at night, and you can't eat, and you can't work, and you can't play, and you think about you're going to die and go to hell if you died, and where you wasn't scared of dying, now I'm afraid you're afraid you're going to die in your sleep, man. And God's bothering you, and He's all over you. And then by faith, you say, I got to do something about this. And you step out, and then when you step out, God said, that's all I needed. Now here, I'm going to give you what you need, faith. Amen. Put it in you. The law didn't do that. Did you know there's a lot of people that is trying to keep those laws that are not going to heaven? The Jewish nation right now is trying to keep those laws. Here's a Jew, Paul, writing to the Gentile Romans, the church, and he's telling them what to do. And the Jews are still back home throwing stones at him and cussing him and everything else, because now he's preaching that you're saved by grace through faith in Christ and His finished work and nothing else. And they're hollering, blasphemy, blasphemy, because they think they've got to keep the law in order to receive that justification. And every one of them's lying to themselves, because when they lay down at night, they know somewhere during the day they did not keep a law. Amen. We're justified by faith without the law. We're going to get on to something in a minute that'll tell you more about that. Look at Romans 3:31. Now, we're saved by faith, But listen here. That does not make the law of no use, okay? Did you hear me? We're saved by faith, but that does not make the law useless. There is a use for the law. Look at verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You know what that means? We agree to the law that it's right. You say, yeah, the law's right. I'm the one that's wrong. And by doing that, we establish the law. We're saying God wrote this, it's perfect. I'm the one that's flawed, not the law. You understand what I'm saying? The law's not of none effect. The law's good. We're not going to throw the law out. Ten Commandments, that's what, and we're going to get more on that in a minute, but that's what brought you to faith in Christ was the law to begin with. The law condemned you. See? No honest person can read the Ten Commandments and not feel condemned unless they know that they've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. All right? Look here at Romans 4:13. Now, this promise to Abraham wasn't based on the law, but on faith. I said this promise to Abraham wasn't based on the law, but it's based on faith. Look at verse 4:13. In verse 13, he says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Now, this is Abraham. God promised him his people going to inherit the world. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You see that? God gave Abraham a promise, and he said, one day your seed will inherit the earth. And he didn't give him that through the law. The law wasn't even written yet. He gave him that through faith. He said, your faith is what makes you righteous. You see, you're right with God because of what you believe. Now, of course, what you believe will affect what you practice. And you will love the law and you will want to obey the law. But you'll always remember you're always going to come, for all have sinned and come short of the law. Now, God gave Abraham this verse 13, promised him for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Who wrote the law? Who? No, Moses wrote the law. God gave it to Moses. Moses wrote it on those Ten Commandments, those tablets of stone. The finger of God wrote them down. Then later on, Moses wrote them down, passed them on. And the Jews call it the law of Moses. That's what they call it. They call him the lawgiver. See? And so therefore, Abraham didn't write that law. He got it by faith. His righteousness was by faith. Now, y'all listen to me. Everybody that's ever been saved, Old Testament, New Testament, from Adam and Eve all the way to the last person on planet Earth, they're all going to be saved the same way. A lot of people think in the Old Testament they lived by the law and they were saved by the law. No, nobody's ever been saved by the law. They were convicted by the law. They were shown that they come short by the law, and they looked for a promised coming Savior to deliver them from the law. And now here we are in the New Testament. We're looking back on how Jesus came, and we're not saved by the law. The law's good, he says later on. Law's good. Nothing wrong with the law. It teaches us. But we know we're not saved by that law. We know we're saved by the one that made the law, Jesus Christ, and the one that lived the law, Jesus Christ, and the one that died because the law said somebody had to die for sin. He died for sinners, not himself. And so we look back at him and we said, the law's good, but I'm not. But he was. See? So that's by faith. Abraham got it by faith. I got it by faith. You got it by faith. Everybody that's ever been saved has been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those works would be keeping the law. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about giving to the Salvation Army. I'm not talking about giving that guy a dollar sitting up on the side of the interstate who ought to get him a job. He's got a sign, you know. No, I'm talking about the law of God. The law of God. Now, look at verse 14. In verse 14, verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, in other words, if they're the ones going to inherit the earth, faith is made what? And the promise has been made of what? None effect. In other words, if somebody could keep the law and be saved, then those who have faith in Christ, we're wasting our time. It's voided faith. If you can be saved by keeping the law of Moses, then us poor old sinners who can't keep the law of Moses, we've lost our salvation. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, don't run away with me. Now, I'm not talking about a license to sin. Hang on. We're going to get somewhere, okay? So, grace operates on the basis of faith, not law. Let me say it again. Grace, undeserved love, undeserved favor from God, operates on the basis of faith, not law. Because if it's operating on law, then it's no longer faith and it's no longer grace. If it's not through faith, it's of the law, and grace and faith are no good anymore. Have I confused you? All right? We don't have a test. I just want to help you. Okay, last week I said faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And I tried to tell you, you got all these people running around here now, and they dishonor the law, and they don't hold the law up, and they don't lift up the law, and they don't honor God and the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and the perfection of God. Everything simplified so much, they brought God down to their level, and who cares? Because everybody's probably going to go to heaven anyway, because you know you can't. You can't work your way, so we're all going, you know. No, that's not it. Look at chapter 9, verse 32. Now, I'm not saying that law's not good. It is. I'm not saying that law's not necessary. It is. I'm not saying the law's not holy. It is holy. I'm saying that you can't be saved by keeping that law, because nobody's ever kept it other than Jesus Christ, and He kept it for your sake. Israel missed the righteousness of God. Look at Romans 9:32. In verse 32, he says, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. You know what? They missed the righteousness of God because they had a misunderstanding of what faith and law are all about. Because they misunderstood that there was only one righteous one, and that you didn't have to have law and faith. You needed faith, and the law was going to show you needed faith. Then the law was just there to teach you that you've come short. But Israel thought that they could keep the law. The Jews thought they could keep law. So therefore, when you start thinking you're keeping the law, you think you're good enough to go to heaven, and you're going to miss the real righteous one, who is not you, it's Him. And you won't look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You'll look unto yourself, and you'll become self-righteous, and you'll think that God just owes it to you, so that you'll get into heaven because you keep the commandments and everybody knows you're lying but you. Amen? Amen. If you could keep the law to be saved, Jesus died for nothing. Because if you could keep it, then everybody else ought to be able to keep it. Because we're all children of Adam. And the same Adamic blood that flows through me flows through you. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so then death passed upon all men. So if for some reason one person could keep the law and go to heaven, it would void faith completely. Because if one could do it, everybody could do it. And Jesus died for nothing. And God's a liar. And the Bible's not true. And you're the only one right in the whole wide world. Amen? But you know there's people walking around this world right now that think like that. And then there's others that think like this. They think, well, I did get saved by faith. He gave me the faith to accept Christ, and I did accept Him that day, but I got to help Him. I got to help Him, or I'm going to lose this thing. I'm going to lose my salvation if I don't help Him. You say, wouldn't nobody think like that? Oh, Free Will Baptists think like that. Pentecostal people think that way. Charismatic people think that way. Cults think that way. They have no security. They think, well, He gave me the faith to be saved, but now I got to work the faith to keep it by keeping the law. And if I die, for instance, I had a fellow tell me, a man that I led to Christ, I saw him delivered, one miraculously delivered from alcohol. And then he lost his job, had to move back up to the mountains. And they called me one day years later and said that he'd lost his job up there and he got discouraged. And he didn't go to church with him that morning. He said he didn't feel well. And he committed suicide that day. His brother-in-law was a pastor of, he called it a Baptist church, but it wasn't, couldn't have been. He said, they asked me to come up there to preach to a funeral. What's the name of that little old town? Silver, North Carolina, far up as you can get. And when I come preach funeral, I said, well, his brother-in-law is his pastor. Why don't he preach it? And they said, well, his brother-in-law thinks he went to hell because he committed suicide. I said, so where's that verse in the Bible that says the unpardonable sin is suicide? And he said, that's not what it said. It says that you can't go to heaven if you have sin in your life. I said, then nobody's going. No, he said, you don't understand. He didn't have time to confess it as sin and ask the Lord to forgive him. I said, well, surely he didn't. He died. He didn't have time to confess. Was it sin? Sure it was. He shouldn't have done that. But that sin was covered the day he got saved. Amen. That sin was covered the day that Jesus died on the cross. He hath, he doth, and he yet will deliver us. Does that give us a license to sin? It does not. But people do dumb things sometimes, and people make mistakes, and people get discouraged, and people get off the track. So therefore, this guy thought that you had to be, this preacher thought you had to be saved by grace through faith, by turning to Christ and being saved. Of course, to him, that's a work. He had to work up the faith to turn and be saved. Y'all met people like that, haven't you, Billy? So you got to work up your faith and then turn to Christ and ask Him to save you and confess every sin you ever committed. And then, after you get baptized, you got to help the Lord a little bit by keeping the law. Unbiblical. I mean, he's never read the book of Galatians. He's never read the book of Romans. Y'all still with me? I haven't made you mad at me, have I? I know some of you grandmas was a Free Will Baptist. My mom was a Free Will Baptist. I love them to death, but they're going to be some shocked Free Will Baptists. They're going to wake up in heaven and thought they wasn't ever going to be there. They're going to be some shocked Pentecostals. They're going to wake up, they're going to take that last breath and go, and wake up and say, whoa, how'd I get here? I ain't supposed to be here. I sinned. And all of us are going to look at him and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Now, do you see what I'm saying? God doesn't need your help. If you could help Him, then faith is no good. You could keep the law. All right, y'all done run out of time. We got to hurry. Israel missed the righteousness of God because of a misunderstanding of what faith and law are. I just read you that. Now, did you know this, that no one will be saved by the law? Galatians 2:16. You say, but wait a minute, Moses, Abraham, Isaac. No. You don't know nothing about those people, do you? If you knew more about them people, if you just read your Bible, you'd find out they didn't keep the law all the time. Galatians 2:16. Matter of fact, if you want to find some examples of sinners, just read your Bible. Amen. Saved sinners. Amen. Chapter 2, I think I said verse 16. Knowing that a man is not, what's that word? Justified by the works of the what? But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Underline this last piece. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Wait a minute. Adam didn't know about Jesus. No, but he knew there had to be a coming Savior, and by faith he looked that way and trusted God by faith. Now, wait a minute. That day that Isaac went up the mountain and Abraham was supposed to take that knife and sacrifice his own son, that was works. Yeah, but did you notice he stopped it? He stopped him. He said, don't kill your son. I got a goat hung up over here in the bush. Get him and sacrifice him. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. All right, one more verse. Chapter 3 in Galatians again. Chapter 3 in Galatians. Look at verse 3. 23, I'm sorry. Chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 23. Hurry. Y'all not listen fast enough. There's a tornado watch. We all got to get home, get under the bed. The weatherman said so. I heard it. I heard it on the radio. It had to be true. Verse 23, But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now what he's saying is, before God gave us the faith, we were under the law. And we were shut out from faith. We didn't have it. God hadn't given it to us. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our... Can you read that? Can anybody read me that word? What? Schoolmaster. What's schoolmaster? Teacher. To bring us unto who? Christ. Not the law. The law brought us to Christ. He was our schoolmaster, and he brought us to Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith. Now here's what law says. The law says, look, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, and I'm going to tell you what's right. But you're not going to be able to do it. And I'm going to let you try over and over. I'm going to let you get baptized. You'll find out that don't work. I'm going to let you join church. You'll find out that don't work. I'll let you quit drinking, cussing, everything else. You'll find out. I'm going to let you. Here's the 10 perfections right here. If you can keep these, you can go to heaven. And then the law comes back next week and says you blew it again, didn't you? And then he comes back next week, he says, you blew it again, didn't you? And he comes back next week, he's saying, for years, he'll keep coming back saying, I'm the law and you're condemned. You can't keep what I got down right here. That makes you a sinner. You're going to die and go to hell. And you say, wait a minute, I'm going to quit something else. I'm going to join something else. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to change my friends. I'm going to change my job. I'm going to change my habits, my hobbies. And then a year later, he comes back and says, how's that working? You say, I still feel condemned. I go to bed at night feeling like a dirty, rotten sinner. Every time I read the commandments, it says guilty, 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 guilty. Every one I read says guilty. And then your schoolmaster, Mr. Law, says, you got it. You finally learned what I've been teaching you. Now let me show you what I helped you. And that law points you. He says, there's the one that kept the law right there. And if you'll go to him and receive him, he'll pay that law for you. And you say, well, I don't know how. He says, I'm going to do something else. My Father in heaven is going to give you the faith to believe that. And that day when you open your heart, and you didn't have the faith, you're just willing to invite, you invited him in. You invited, and then he gives you the faith, and the law walks off, and he says, my job's done. my job's done. The law will never bother you again because, see, you're not under the law now. Now the law is written in your heart. They talk about putting up 10 commandments. That's wonderful for sinners. Put them up on every street corner, in front of every liquor store, in front of every crack house, in front of everywhere they sell the lottery. Put them up! Because everybody who reads them is going to get condemned. But now we as Christians, we don't need it. We read them to remind us what He's done for us. But we've got the law written in our heart now. So when we sin, the Holy Spirit says, whoop, hello. You know that ain't right. Let me help you. The law's written in our hearts. You know, when I got saved, the preacher didn't have to preach to me a whole lot of things I needed to quit. All of a sudden, I knew it. You know, church, I had old long stringy hair and hung around with that crowd, you know. In that church, they never preached against long stringy hair. They never preached against rock music or any of that stuff. But the Holy Spirit, every time I hear a sermon, He'd deal with me about stuff. The pastor could be preaching on tithe and I'd hear something else. Whatever the Lord's doing with me. Because, see, the law is now in my heart. But now the law's not my judge, it's my helper. It guides me. It did condemn me. Now it guides me. And He gave me the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that I would be out from under the condemnation of the law. Now, listen to this. I'll quit. Faith produces people who love the law. But we're not fooled into thinking that we can ever attain salvation through the law. Now, Paul said the law is good. Romans chapter 7, go read it. He said, that which I would do, I do not. He said, that which I would not, that I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that walk in the Spirit, not after flesh. They're walking in the Spirit, not the law. Now when I hear the law, I read the law, people preach it, teach it, sing it, testify it. It doesn't condemn me. Sometimes it convicts me, but it never condemns me. Sometimes law comforts me. Now, get this straight. There shall no flesh be saved by the works of the law. I'm not giving you a license to sin. You ought not sin. The Bible says sin not. We're to even abstain from the appearance of evil, but that law is now written in our heart. We know what's going on. Y'all still with me? I'm not telling you that you can go out here and do anything you want to and get by with it. If you're a child of God, before you ever do it, He's going to convict you. And while you're doing it, He's going to convict you. And after you do it, He's going to convict you. And if you don't repent and turn from it, He's going to whip you until you do. You know what He uses to whip you first? The law. The thing you were saved from, that's the thing He's going to use to convict you first. But now I'm free from the law. We'll be the happiest people in town. I'm not going to hell. I don't have a thing to do with it. I don't have a thing to do with it. He chose me. He called me. He converted me. He did everything. He keeps me. Now unto Him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy, He does it all. All I got to do is trust Him, and He's going to give me the faith to trust Him. We'll be the happiest people in town. Don't worry about going to hell anymore. I couldn't go to hell. They'd have to air condition it. Because the God that cannot lie promised me eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? Now, if you're not saved tonight, let me warn you and I'll quit. You're still under the law and the law is condemning you. Every time you open your eyes in the morning, you're condemned all day long because you cannot keep that law. You're not going to heaven. That law is there telling you, teaching you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And tonight you've heard what faith is, and He'll give you the faith if you'll step out and ask Him and you can be saved. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God that never changes.